A Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media Station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There is also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A lot of sportsy stuff and a lot of complainers, pretty much it. It's all right, though. More fun stuff coming. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. And, yeah, it'll all be on podcastarena.com. So I kind of have something to blame you for, by the way.
Okay, I'll take it.
I managed to sneak over to the gym for an hour today in between meetings and whatnot.
You're looking swole. I'm noticing gains.
I'm making progress. This is the first week where I've actually looked and said, hey, I'm making progress. This is good. It's been 3 weeks. That's pretty fast to make progress.
So, are you dancing around your wife?
No. Oh, okay. I'm not doing that. But no, I'm feeling better. I got to get a little more gut off is my goal now. And okay. I'm good. But yeah, I was walking through the gym, and I was on my way from one little station to another, and a guy just walked by and said, hey, how's it going, Fat Joker? So thank you for that.
I never called you Fat Joker.
I know, but you liked it, so.
I did like it.
I thought that was kind of funny. I got a good laugh out of it. hey, man, have you seen this this Washington Redskins cheerleader story that's gone, people are going nuts about?
No.
All right.
I was busy looking at the names of the 18 people, the 18 congressmen who nominated Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, who were they? I'm kind of curious.
Three from Texas.
Well, Ted Cruz got to be one of them, right?
No.
What?
No. It doesn't show any senators. It's all congressmen.
Oh, okay.
One of them is some Burgess guy from the Dallas area. But Pete.
Not Tim Burgess.
No, not Tim Burgess. I think it's Michael Burgess. Pete Olson, who represents the 22nd Congressional District since 2009, which includes southeastern Houston, most of the city's southern suburbs, such as Katy, Pearland, and Sugarland. Yeah, he thinks Donald Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, so, he did just unite the Koreas.
And U.S. Representative Brian Babin, who's he offices out of Deer Park. He works in District 36. So a couple local guys seem to think that Donald Trump should be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
Let me ask you a question. Don't you think that the guy who forced North Korea to come to the table?
He forced them.
Yeah, he did. He threatened
the one. Dennis Rodman did that, and you know it.
No, wasn't Dennis Rodman.
Yes,
we give the president all the blame for stuff. We give him all the credit for stuff. Obama got credit for Bin Laden. We're going to give Trump gets credit for Korea. That should be a Nobel Peace Prize.
Couple of tweets to Bob Arum.
Yeah.
Tim said, crazy to hear Bob dog Eastern Euros with Lomachenko in the fold. There's a really good joke about how Bob Arum thought Lomachenko was Chinese.
Yeah.
Because of his name.
Yeah.
But then I thought that would be inappropriate.
Yeah, that would be bad.
And then Fred's dark side, the Black Fred, said the Bob segment is like beating a dead horse, lay it to rest. And then Bob Arum heard that and said, of course the black guy is complaining. The blacks are always complaining. Don't you watch the news? But then the horse was dead again. Poor Bob Arum. Don't hate Fred's dark side. Is that really your account?
No, that's not me.
Is that your secondary?
No, I have nothing to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. That's his own Fred. He's his own man.
Okay.
I got nothing to do with him. Now, this Redskins cheerleader story.
Okay.
I can't believe you haven't heard this.
I haven't.
It's like been everywhere today. Apparently, this is 2013. They took their cheerleading squad to Costa Rica.
Why?
For a calendar photo shoot.
Okay.
The first thing the Redskins officials did when they got there, collected their passports from them.
What?
Yeah.
You're stuck here.
Kind of. So for the photo shoot, they went to the adults-only Grand Papagayo Resort.
Okay.
Some of the cheerleaders said they were required to be topless, though the photographs used for the calendar would not show nudity.
Were required to be topless?
That's what it says. Now, I don't know. Maybe they were doing those photos where they put their hands over their nipples or something, but it's not, you know. Others wore nothing but body paint. Given the resort's secluded setting, such revealing poses would not have been a concern for the women. Except for one fact, the Redskins invited spectators. A contingent of sponsors and FedEx Field suite holders, all men, were granted up-close access to the photo shoots. All right, first off, I'm going to go on record. That's awful creepy.
That is pretty bad.
And second off, I mean, I don't think I... Like, let's just pretend for a minute I'm a rich white guy that supports the Redskins and they invite me to this thing. I don't want to see their cheerleader. Have you ever been around a topless shoot? It's work.
Never.
No, it's work for everybody. It's not nearly what you think it is. It's not, oh, look at that. You can see that chick's boobs. I mean, it's a pain in the ass. It's not sexy. It really isn't. It's kind of disgusting. And so, I mean, who would be creepy enough to sit there and, well, who would invite them and then who would be creepy enough to actually watch that?
Dan Snyder.
Well, gets a little better.
Okay.
At that evening, after their 14-hour day that included posing and dance practices, the squad's director...
it was a tough day.
Yeah, yeah. The squad's director told 9 of the 36 cheerleaders that they had a special assignment for the night. Some of the male sponsors had picked them to be personal escorts at a nightclub. So go back to your room and get ready, the director told them. Several of them began to cry. They weren't putting a gun to our heads, but it was mandatory for us to go, one of the cheerleaders said. Oh, God. We weren't asked. We were told. Other girls were devastated because we knew exactly what she was doing. All right. Can I have an unpopular opinion here?
Yes.
Stand the bleep up for yourselves.
Yeah.
You know what? We live in a cell phone world, right? How about you record the conversation? If they order you to go do this, you tell them no. And if they fire you, you sue the living bleep out of them. I'm so tired of we felt pressured into this. How about... stand up for yourself. How about say, screw you, woman. I'm not doing this. You think I'm going to go out with this perv? You don't pay me enough for that. And I'm sorry. I like people to have a little bit of balls when it comes to stuff like this. Stand up and just tell them no. And if they say, yeah, but I felt pressured. It was mandatory for us to go. Bull bleep. Yes, creepy as hell to have those guys look at you. Creepier still to try to set you up with them. But... stand up for yourself, man.
I guess at some point, I guess it's sort of a hashtag Me Too thing where you could say, well, all they've got to do is just, if they're, you know, feeling like they're being asked to do something inappropriate, just quit the cheerleading team. But that's like telling those, you know, those actresses, well, just, you know, tell Harvey Weinstein to bleep off. And
no, but in this case, it's not like, I mean, the difference is acting's your big chance. I mean, we're talking about freaking cheerleaders, okay?
Yeah, but listen, I mean, there's 32 cheer teams in the NFL. These girls probably, I mean, for some of them, it might be a dream. And we've talked before about how it opens up doors for more opportunities. I mean, most of these girls aren't looking to...
Yeah, but you know what? What do you think is going to get you more opportunities? Going and being an escort for some clown or showing up on Oprah because you called them out for it?
Well, that's going to get you the opportunities.
Well, exactly.
Oprah.
Well, hell yeah.
Of course.
You don't think that would get them on there? If one of those guys took their cell phones and recorded them doing that?
Absolutely.
You don't think that would have gotten them attention? I just want people to actually stand up for themselves a little bit. That's all. And granted, most of the people I know wouldn't put up with that crap.
No.
But, oh well. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. But yeah, I mean, that's such a bad look to, and apparently the, this woman who was the, I guess was in charge of the cheerleaders, the director, she was kind of like the madam.
Oh, the cheerleading, what do they call those? The liaison or whatever?
Yeah, well, that's whatever she was. Her job was to, you know, they felt like they were being pimped out. So, and the team's director demanded that they go as sex symbols to please male sponsors, which all of that's weak and creepy.
Yeah.
It really is. So, I mean, I'm not in any way saying that.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm just saying though, when it comes down to we want you to go out with these guys, I'd like to see people actually say, you know what, screw this, I'm not doing that, and if you fire me over that, then okay, I've got it recorded right here. Let's do it.
I gotta be honest, Lamont, with the question of the day, when were you at a topless shoot?
It's I've been there before. I've been at one before.
When? Give me some details.
It was a job thing, man. It wasn't what you think. It was
like the Houston Chronicle. Did
it was mid-90s when I was I had left the Chronicle for a couple years to start a business, and the business didn't work out, so I did some freelance work and some freelance photography and stuff.
Look at you.
So,
were you creepy yet with it?
No.
Did you take their passports?
No, did not take their passports. Honestly, it
give me all your car keys, girls. You're stuck.
No matter what you think, it was as uncomfortable for us as it was for them. It's just not, wasn't something I was really all that interested in doing at the time.
All right.
So, yeah, there's not a sexy story there to talk about. I'm going to squeeze Eric on because he wants to talk boxing.
Okay.
Let's get that on real quick.
Hey, sports, Eric.
Hey, guys, sports.
Did you enjoy the Bob Arum interview?
Oh, that was great, even though he pushed my time. And he didn't mention Terrence Crawford. That's all Bob Arum does now.
Yeah, that's true.
Want to get a couple of your opinions on a few things. I know you guys seem to be overwhelmingly in favor that Triple G won the last fight. I kind of had it. I was okay with a draw. Could have went either way. But first, what are your feelings on the Daniel Jacobs fight right before that? Because I thought Daniel Jacobs beat him by 2 or 3 rounds. And also, what's your take on him fighting this guy at the tomato can? They actually had to leave Nevada to get the fight approved because the athletic commission Nevada wouldn't approve this guy because he hasn't fought for 2.5 years when Demetrius Andrade and Darren Chinko both wanted to fight him, and he backed out of that. I'll hang up and listen to your opinion.
I will say this. The Golovkin-Jacobs fight, I thought was much closer than the Golovkin Canelo fight. Like had they called the Golovkin's Jacob fight a draw, I guess they couldn't call it a draw because there was the knockdown, so that's maybe what separated it from being a draw. But I wouldn't have had much beef. That fight was so close. But he did drop Jacobs once, which sort of swayed the scorecards for him, in my opinion. But the Canelo fight, to me, I had 8-4 was like the most I could give it. The most I could give. But, I mean, listen, I guess everybody sees fights differently.
And honestly, there were two rounds that you thought were for sure for Golovkin that I think a lot of people saw as close enough to give to Canelo, and suddenly it's 6-6. I certainly didn't agree with the one scorecard. But. Yeah. I don't think it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, especially since I didn't expect it. Just politically, there was no way that they were going to, unless he knocked him down a couple times, there was no way they were going to give Golovkin a decision there. There's just no way.
Well,
I mean, we know how corrupt this crap is. Come on, let's not pretend like we don't.
Yeah. I mean, the one, was it 118, 110 that Adelaide Bird turned in?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a joke. That is, that's the worst. That's the worst it could have possibly been. And as far as the fight on Saturday, Liz, I don't know that I don't know much about this guy that Golovkin's fighting. I tune in to see Golovkin when he fights. I don't know much about the guy. I will say this: it has to be tough to find an opponent on that kind of notice when you still want to fight on May 5th. And you also have to weigh in that if Golovkin was to fight somebody and lose, then the Canelo rematch is basically out the window. And that's too much money for them to take a big risk. So if they put him in there with a tomato can, I don't have a problem with it. And in fact, I don't mind if he's in there with a tomato can, because that means he's going to get knocked out. And I love watching him knock people out.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. When we come back, we're going to talk a little derby with Barry Abrams.
What's Barry Abrams know that you don't know?
Well, he's going to tell us. Usually between the two of us, we give the people something.
You better
works.
Have something up his sleeve, something that impresses me.
All right. Well, we'll find out when we come back.
All right. Let me tell you guys about Jacob, who back in June was a mechanic. He was stressed out. He was working 50, 60 grueling hours a week. Less than 6 months later, Jacob started his IT career, making more money, working less hours. How long is it going to take you? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take a free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have computer experience or training, no problem. Helping people start an IT career is what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. It's more than just a school, too. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. My Computer Career. Edu.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Teamwork.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Time to talk a little derby. Lots of great stuff on Sports Map you can go check out. I've got the field by Pixel Hit in the morning. Got a video up. And right now what we're going to do is talk to Barry Abrams from he hosts ESPN's In the Gate podcast, joins us every year for the Triple Crown races, and always has some interesting insight that we can always mix in. So always happy to have you on, Barry. How's it going, man?
Very good to be back with you, Fred and AJ. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Fantastic.
So I noticed, I was looking at your Twitter. This is probably the busiest week of the year for you, right? You're like on like 700 shows from what I could tell.
Well, with all due respect to those who sing the praises in December, I think this is the most wonderful time of the year.
Agreed. All right, so let's jump right in. Let's start with the favorite, Justify, who 3-1. I think he's probably going to take a little more action than that because people are going to see Baffert and Mike Smith. Give us your thoughts on Justify.
Well, you wanted me to pull something special out, as I heard before the break, and maybe you knew this, but maybe you didn't. Justify has run 3 times in his career, all of which came this season when he's 3 years old. This Kentucky Derby's only open to horses who were 3 years old. That means he did not run when he was 2 years old. The last horse to win the Kentucky Derby without racing at age 2 was Apollo back in 1882. You were there, right? So, you know, this would be like taking, you know, Deshaun Watson and putting him on the Texans after 1 year at Clemson and no high school ball. You know, these horses are not machines. They're live animals. Now, this horse is incredibly talented, and the power numbers that he got for winning the 3 races that he ran are better than anyone else's power numbers by a pretty wide margin. But, you know, as the heavyweight champion Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until he gets punched in the mouth. And this horse only ran against 4 opponents the first 2 times and then 6 opponents the 3rd time. So he hasn't been punched in the mouth yet. Now, if he is and he responds, he's a great horse. I need to see it.
Yeah, I like the horse that ran right behind him in the Santa Anita Derby, Bolt D'Oro, for a lot of reasons.
Absolutely. And not only that, okay, Bolt D'Oro, who finished 2nd to Justify, as you said,
the power number he got for that race, finishing second, would have won every other prep race on the Kentucky Derby Trail. Furthermore, the race that Bolt-D'Oro had before that one was the San Felipe Stakes in March, where it was a real knockdown, drag-out affair, which he won. Now, you can look at that two ways. This horse is really battle-tested. He also finished third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last fall, a real tough race. Or you can look at it a different way and say, all right, this horse had a little vacation between the Breeders' Cup and that race in March, comes into the race, you know, not in 100% game condition, tough race. Does he ever recover fully from that? Does he ever really get back to 100%? Sometimes, you know, that can be like Ollie Frazier Thrill at Manila. It just changes you. So that's the question you got to ask with Bolt. I got to take a stand on somebody. I say he comes back now 100% and he's ready to go.
Todd Pletcher, four horses in the race. Your thoughts on his four? I've always kind of thought that he pushes these horses so hard in the preps, and of course he proved me wrong last year. But do you give any of them a chance, and which ones do you like the best?
Well, you know what's interesting? That's a good point that you make, except for one thing. You're right. Todd Pletcher has had a reputation of having two-year-olds blossom very early. You might say he pushes them a little far. Maybe, maybe not. But a lot of those horses kind of level off as three-year-olds. Now, he did have Always Dreaming with the Kentucky Derby last year. He hasn't won anything since, though he does race tomorrow on the undercard of the Kentucky Oaks. But these four that are coming into the Derby for him really didn't do much as two-year-olds. In fact, none of Todd Pletcher's horses really did much as two-year-olds. They're all coming into their own now. So I don't know that all of them have a real chance. I don't think Noble Indy has much of a chance. But Audible, the winner of the Florida Derby from Post 5, he's shown a lot of versatility. He's been up near the lead a couple of times. And, you know, in the Florida Derby, he came from way back, you know. And so he's got the right kind of seasoning and running style that I think Audible has a chance. And by the way, there's a sentimental choice for me there too, because I narrate audiobooks, many of which appear on Audible. So sentimentally, I have to go there.
I saw him wearing an audible.com jacket today, or a blanket today. So there you go.
Right. Now, his owner named the horse after the term that comes from football. But when the audiobook company got wind of it, yes, not only did they make a deal to put a company blanket on him, but they also made a $25,000 donation to the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, of which they knew nothing beforehand. So that was pretty cool.
Barry Abrams, our guest. He hosts ESPN's In the Gate podcast. A couple others I wanted to ask you about, but before we get to that, I know you've always got one long shot that you've got in your back pocket for this that nobody's thought of. Every one of these races, you've got one. What's your one for Saturday?
Well, I got a couple for you. One of them would be, I got three actually, that I think have a chance, maybe not to win, but to come in right underneath. And you know, guys, from watching the Derby for all these years, that you get the closing argument at 72-1 coming second, or Commanding Curve, or Golden Soul, were both 30-1, came out of nowhere and finished second. The ones I have for you here would be Hofburg for Bill Mott, the winningest trainer in the history of Churchill Downs, who, this, you know, that horse has only run three times like Justify, though he did race as a two-year-old. But Bill Mott doesn't just bring horses to the Derby. I think his last Derby starter was 9 years ago. So if Bill Mott's bringing this horse to the Derby, even with only three starts, you have to at least give him a chance, and he's 20-1. My boy Jack, who goes from the 10 right next to Hofburg, 30-1 for the brother tandem of Keith and Kent DeSormo, he's going to be coming hard at the end, and that's often a style that will at least make a second place finish to come from way back. And there's going to be a pretty good pace in this race for him to run into. He's been training lights out this week, and I think he has a chance at least to come in underneath. And the other one from Out of the Clouds, like, where did this horse come from? It's just a gut feeling. I don't really know why, but Combatant on the far outside for the second leading trainer in the history of racing by money, Steve Asmussen. You look at him, it doesn't quite work, but that's what I thought about Closing Argument and Golden Soul and, you know, Command and Curve. So you want to really take a flyer, go for Combatants underneath.
It's funny you should mention that, because that is my my second and third place trifecta bomb key. So there you go, because he's got to win at Churchill. Those races at Arkansas weren't that bad. The Arkansas Derby was such a slow run race, he wasn't going to be able to close. I think he's got a real good chance to clunk up there at 50-1 and get a piece of it.
Yeah, it's just a gut feeling.
All right, I wanted to ask you, because the last 5 years we've had favorites, and that's not really a trend that has throughout the history has really followed the Kentucky Derby. I think from there were 20 years there where we had nothing but non-favorites. But do you think the point system has had something to do with that, or are we just going through a strange phase where the favorites are winning?
Oh, no, absolutely. You're right on, guys. The point system has made a difference. Because remember, before the point system, it went by money, how much money you won. And some of these horses, as two-year-olds, would run in these big races, like the Champagne or the one in Santa Anita that's changed names in recent years. And they've made it into the Kentucky Derby, but they turned out either to be sprinters, not long-distance horses, or they've just leveled off from two to three, you know, where they didn't grow as much as some others, and the others caught up to them, kind of like the bully in high school. So the point system's made a big difference, because for those who are not familiar, it's like NASCAR or the PGA Tour, where you need to earn points to qualify for the Kentucky Derby, and the races that have the most points are the ones right before the Kentucky Derby. So it's weighted toward horses who are running well at this time of year. So that's made a big difference. I mean, there's going to be a lot of speed in the Derby, a lot of early speed, but it's not rank speed, you know, roughneck, breakneck speed like a sprinter would do. So, yeah, when you have those races with horses that belong in a mile and a quarter race, the better horse often at least comes in second, if not first. So, yeah, I think you're right. That's made a big difference.
Yeah, so there's no song and a prayer speed in this one, basically.
Yeah, I mean, even Palace Malice, yeah, you know, who went crazy and, you know, had a great career other than Derby Day, where something got into him and he just went flying off by himself on an early lead. That hasn't happened really much since the point system.
All right, that's Barry Abrams, host ESPN's In the Gate podcast. Tell the people how they can get your podcast, Barry.
We are available every week of the year on ESPN.com. We're on SoundCloud and YouTube and the TuneIn app, TuneIn.com. And, of course, you can get us on the iTunes store. So we try to tailor it for a more casual crowd. We don't try to get too inside racing. But, you know, tune in. You might learn something. And even crazier than that, you might just like it.
All right, Barry. Well, enjoy Derby Day, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks for the Preakness, my friend.
You know where to find me, gentlemen. Thanks so much.
All right. It's Barry Abrams, ESPN, In the Gate podcast. All right.
I guess you didn't want me to ask any questions. Is that what it was?
You had plenty of opportunity there.
I was trying to interject, and you kept putting your hand up.
No, you weren't. You had your face
staring.
I kept looking over to see if you wanted to ask a question. You were staring at your computer the whole time. Don't lie to the people.
The people saw it on the stream.
Well, I know they did.
They saw me like raising my hand, like saying, "Hey, can I get a turn?"
They see you raising your hand now.
John, did you see it? He like put his hand up to be like, "No, not right now, not right now." No. Let the big boys talk.
You were doing to me what I do to you with Beth.
Yeah, look at these guys. the horse racing snobbery. It's like they don't want to hear all right, questions from the peasants.
What were you going to ask? Just out of curiosity.
I was going to ask him what he thought of the four horse.
Get out of here. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Give in again. Feel good
again. Begging for another beautiful. Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So Jason Witten official that he is going to Monday Night Football. And I had a moment today where I thought about doing this, but it's like there's certain people that are, if they just try to bait you, I don't engage them anymore. And last week I was asked to do the Jason Witten story for Culture Map Dallas,
right,
as a favor, which I did, and I went ahead and posted it on Sports Map. And somebody went on Sports Map and responded to it and said, fact check. And then here's your fact check, was Jerry Jones on DallasCowboys.com saying he hadn't made his mind up yet. And
so he was saying that Jason Witten hadn't retired?
Yeah. And basically, you know, fact check. When the story that I wrote specifically said if the report is true and that it was a report. So the guy obviously didn't read the story. He just saw that Witten was going to retire, disagreed, took Jerry Jones' things and called that a fact check. So my
that makes sense.
Temptation today was to go back, respond to the comment and say fact check, period, and then send him a link to today's press conference. But that's such a...
But you're not petty.
No, I mean, no, I wanted to. I wanted to because it would have been a dickweed move. But, you know, every now and then I kind of like to just remind people that, you know, you're being kind of a dumb when you do stuff like that.
So what's the broadcast team now for Monday Night Football?
I don't know who's the main guy. How about this? You got three Cowboys in prominent broadcasting roles now.
Yeah.
Romo, Aikman, and Witten.
Yep.
Is that fair?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's the Monday Night lead guy now, John?
I don't remember his name. I'll look it up.
It's not Sean McDonough, right?
I think he's out.
Yeah, I thought he was out, so I don't know who they got. And I'll be curious to see how Witten does.
I mean, I don't know who it'll be. Tirico, when he stopped.
Yeah, Tirico's gone off to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I don't even know who was doing it last year.
Well, I thought it was McDonough last year.
Maybe it was him up till now he's out.
Right.
Joe Tessitore? Yeah, he does mostly college football.
That's right. Yeah. I remember that now.
They need to call Mike Tirico back and apologize or figure out what happened.
Well, he's like the new big dog at NBC now, though. He's replaced Costas, essentially.
Yeah, they shouldn't have let him go.
And plus, he likes doing all kinds. He liked Olympic. He was a big noise at the Olympics.
Golf.
Do you think we'll see a Sergio Dip sighting this year?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, we need. They're going to need something.
Oh.
Well, this is weird. I just saw this. Peter King is leaving Sports Illustrated to join NBC Sports.
Really?
Yeah, at his age.
That's not surprising. He does a lot with Sunday Night Football and stuff, doesn't he?
Well,
how old is he?
He's 150, but it says his new deal, which will begin in July, means his popular Monday morning column will move to NBCSports.com, which is interesting because the way he built it up, he had like a whole staff of people doing these things.
He was at SI for 29 years. Yeah.
He's also going to make regular appearances on PFT Live with Mike Florio, which is one of the worst shows I've ever seen, while continuing his contributions for Football Night in America. So he was doing that already.
So he's been writing for SI almost as long as I've been alive.
Yeah. And I've probably been reading him for 29 years.
He's 60 years old.
Really? He looks older.
He ain't that old.
He looks a lot older than 60.
Yeah, he's your age.
No, he's not my age. He's not. He's way older than me.
He's close to your age.
He's not close to my age. No.
Okay.
No, he's closer to retirement than he is my age. So just stop.
I don't know.
Simple math. So, you know, Lamont brings up a great point. Says we're in a society of headline readers. Yeah, I know. It drives me nuts. It's like that media thing I wrote last week. Somebody responded to who clearly just read the headline, and I just wanted to respond to them. And I'm kind of like, nope, because you can't win. You can't win. And like people will tweet stuff at me just trying to get me to respond to something, and I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm too old for that garbage. I'm not Peter King old.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody got time for that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Let's squeeze Alex on real quick.
Alex Sports.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just wanted to touch up on that conversation y'all were having earlier with Triple G. One guy I don't think gets enough love nowadays is Jermall Charlo. I was just wondering to see what y'all think about the guy. The guy's from Houston, and, man, he's been looking pretty nasty as of late, you know, at middleweight. I think he's the one guy that I think can beat a Canelo, a Triple G, a Jacobs. I mean, I don't know. I think if I had to put money on anybody, I'd put it on him right now, man. He looks pretty good, man. I think he's going to take over. He probably looks like the future.
Yeah, he does look good. And he got a win over Austin Trout a couple years ago, and that kind of really solidified him on the map. But I don't know. I don't know that he's a big enough name to get those kind of fights yet, unfortunately. I mean, he's good, but yeah. I just don't know if he's there yet. I don't know what his record is. He's in the 20-somethings and 0.
Yeah, Moose Johnson's still a color guy on Fox, too. So, talk about all Cowboys.
So, four of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
27-0.
That's not bad. So, who's, nope. But what's his best win?
Austin Trout.
Okay. Be nice to see him get a chance at a more prominent opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot. I don't know. Like, I mean, think about how long it took Golovkin to get a fight with somebody that someone knew.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a little premature to say you could beat those guys because, I mean, there's not too many fighters out there that can beat those guys. And if you saw Jacob Saturday night, I liked that guy who was fighting, and he was overmatched.
Well, I didn't think he was overmatched. I thought that was a really competitive fight.
It was, but, I mean, I don't think Jacobs was ever in trouble in that fight.
No, he wasn't. And you could see he wore him down as the fight went on. But that dude was game. And I think Jacobs thought he was going to get him out of there early. And that dude took everything he had.
Yeah. I
think he didn't go down until the 11th or something. And then
he finally got him there. But I thought I really liked the guy who was fighting. And I thought Jacobs controlled the fight. So we didn't get a chance to talk about that earlier this week, did we?
We did not.
We didn't get a chance to talk about... Fedor either.
No, Fedor got a good win. Frank Mir came out, and I always tell like the young guys at my gym, when you're in a fight that, you know, something's going to happen and it's not going to go your way, like you're or not going to go the way you expected, or you're going to get hit with something and you might get embarrassed. You can't let that affect you emotionally. In fact, I was talking to somebody like 2 weeks ago. And then Frank Mir basically admitted that that's what happened to him when he went out there and Fedor hip tossed him and he like judo threw him onto his back. Frank Mir said it embarrassed me. And like, I felt like I needed to pay him back for that. And he said, I turned it into basically a street fight and I made a mistake. So it was, it's interesting to see how that plays out sometimes. And it was like a, Frank Mir's like rushing, then suddenly he was on his ass, looking up at the ceiling, and it's like, what happened here? But you gotta get through that. And
you know, it was cool though, seeing a little bit of a Fedor flashback.
It was fun.
Yeah. All right, and then Chael Sonnen comes out afterwards, and
Chael Sonnen tries to smack talk him, and Fedor's just standing there nodding, doesn't understand a word of what he's saying,
just smiles and shakes his hand. Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Got gym of the day, and then I have a really bizarre story that we'll probably won't get to until 6 o'clock, but you'll want to hear it. It's disgusting and bizarre, and it's sportsy. How's that? Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, this report is sponsored by Frontline Plus. I-45, the Gold Freeway, northbound at 59, there's an accident off to the right shoulder. There's also an accident just reported on the west Sam Houston Tollway, southbound at I-10 on the left shoulder. Warmer weather means more time outside, but it can also mean more bugs, so don't forget to protect your pets with the number one name in flea and tick protection, Frontline Plus. Buy it today. From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Check out Sports Map today. Lots of good stuff. Been telling you about it all day. I will say this. One thing on the video, I did get an obscure 90s movie reference in there. John, do we have giveaways today for that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
How many?
Two.
All right, first person who can call and tell the intern what movie reference I used in the video. Gets the seats for Sam Houston tomorrow or for Saturday. Only call if you want to make sure that, or if you're able to come. Don't call if you're just trying to be cool.
Rounders.
That means you've seen the video and
Rounders.
713-780-3776. Incorrect.
Oh, you went off script.
Incorrect. I did. Well, I'll just give you a hint. I mentioned the 1882 thing.
The 1882 thing?
Yep. And okay. I actually mentioned it earlier in the show.
Oh, I was ignoring
you. You were ignoring me. So 713-780-3776 if you want to win the tickets to Sam Houston Race Park for Derby Day on Saturday. And
I don't even remember what we did last segment, let's face it.
The races start at 1, the live races. Derby's going to be around 5:44. I'm going to be getting there at 12:30. So, but yeah, if you want to win, all you got to do is call and tell them what the movie reference was in my video on Sports Map.
All right.
At 713-780-3776. And let me know once we have a winner so I can tell the people. All right, we have a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. I have tons of really good Gem of the Day stuff today. So I'll get to these stories at some point. But I think my favorite was a lot of people have sent me this one, and it's Houston. Did you see that apparently the city of Houston started an adopt-a-drain program to help drainage?
Did not see that.
Yeah, so if you adopt a drain, you get to name it anything you want.
All right.
No checks, no rules. And as Keaton Fox, who tweeted out, said, what could go wrong? Okay, a couple of these I can't say. Instead of a-hole, they've got m-hole. Which, okay. Bleep critical mass.
All right.
Thomas the Thirsty Trench.
Okay.
Heavy D's Portal of Doom. Drainy McDrain Face. Bodie McBoat Drain. Dagobah Drain. Use the Force. I don't know what that one is. I guess that's a Star Wars thing. Here's my favorite. My favorite ones are, have you ever seen the drain?
I like that.
It's draining men. Purple Drain. Blue Eyes Crying in the Drain. Sir Drains a Lot. Calvin. Hobbs. Blame It on the Drain. Huge Gaping Hole. Insane Drain. This is your drain on drugs.
All right.
This is why you can't let people do things like this. You can't. You can't. All right. 713-780-3776. Did we have a winner?
No, not yet.
Okay. Let me know when there's a winner because I want to tell the people. And then I've already decided who's winning the other one, too. We'll do that after we get a winner for this one. All right, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Can you tell Adriel Gaitan good luck at his soccer game from his dad, Jose? I would, but... what if the other team has blitzers? Then it's not really cool to do that. But I guess I just kind of did. So
that's all right.
There you go.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. 713-780-3776. So I've got this story to get to next segment, and it's really freaking bizarre, I have to say. And I'm just kind of curious to get your take on it.
We have to wait till next segment now?
Yeah, because it's... Well, I want to sort out the winners here for the horse racing first.
Oh, okay.
And once we get that done, and I don't think it's one we can do in a minute. Here's one we could do in a
Fair
minute.
Enough.
Did you see Patrick Beverly's mom cleaned up on The Price is Right?
No.
Yeah. Apparently, she won 2 cars and $41,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for her.
2 cars, a trip to Madagascar, and $41,000 in cash.
That's pretty good.
She was wearing an NBA mom shirt while she was on there.
I want to be on The Price is Right. Did they ask her about Patrick Beverly?
I don't know.
Like, who's your son?
I'm pretty sure they knew it was her because she had an NBA mom shirt on.
Probably.
So she probably told him.
Name drop.
I'm just curious. The intern does know the answer to the question, right, John?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Juggalo Trey. He knows everything.
No.
He watches your videos.
So yes, was the reference Maverick? No. No, not Maverick. It's not a gambling movie. That's why it's
tough.
Yeah. I guess I'll give him a hint.
No, he got it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reference was to, as you heard Barry Abrams say, it's been since 1882 since a horse didn't race at two and then won the Derby. And I just asked who the president was then, and it was Chester A. Arthur. And I just said in the video, I had no idea who that was until I saw Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, again.
Chester A. Arthur School, right?
That's right. Right. Who was the 21st president? Yeah. So, there you have it. All right. So, for our other winner, and I'm going to give you until 6:05 to call. There's a guy who I told finished fourth yesterday. And I'm not going to give him his name because I don't want somebody to call in with the same name. But you know who you are because I told you you finished fourth. So call us at 713-780-3776 and let Trey know. And he'll know the name. And you'll get the tickets. And if I don't hear from you by 6:05, we'll go a different direction.
All right.
Fair enough.
Sounds good.
All right. One thing I'm going to do before Saturday is I'm going to reload on my Thrive because after the Derby, I plan on celebrating quite a bit with my big victory or drown my tears in my big loss. And I'm going to do it with Thrive Plus. And I'm sure wish I had it the other day because I'll tell you what, guys, if you like to drink, you like to go out and have a good time. Once you get over a certain age, man, you're not going to feel 100% the next day, even if you're just drinking a little. And guys, I can't afford that. I got too much going on. You got too much going on. That's why you need to use Thrive Plus. They were on Shark Tank. I don't know if you saw them on Shark Tank, but it was awesome. And they basically reduce alcohol's negative effects. You're going to feel better the next day. And I'm telling you, it's real simple. It gives your liver the enzymes it needs to break down alcohol and other toxic byproducts. So basically, you take this, you get up the next day, you're fine. All you have to do is take three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before going to bed. It's that simple. So $3 a dose. Is that not worth feeling a lot better the next day? I think it is. And I know you want to know if it works. Well, I can tell you, absolutely. That's why I will not drink without it anymore. Because when I have, the one time I did not go well. And you don't have to take my word of it. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, Thrive Plus will give you your money back. No questions asked. You don't even need to ship anything back. So that's how confident they are. That's how confident I am. To order Thrive Plus, just go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. And guess what? They're based here in Houston. So if you order before 4 p.m. any day, it's going to be delivered on your doorstep the next day. Just in time for all those drinks you were planning on. Great people, great product. Order it now, DecideThrive.com.
ESPN 90.5.